Good Friday is a chance for us to slow down. It's a different pace to our meeting today, as you might have realized. A chance to slow down, to hear that story again from beginning to end, to spend some time at the foot of the cross, to drink in this scene, in this most massive moment of all of history. Just like you can put on those virtual reality goggles and relive the moon landing through the eyes of the people who were actually there. Well, that's what we're doing in this mini-series around Easter. We're using God's word to go back in time to that very first Easter and see it through the eyes of those who were actually there. And today, we have one of the clearest views possible because we are going to take a look at the cross through the eyes of the centurion. He has a front row seat at the foot of the cross. Just look at what it says in verse 39. The centurion is stood there in front of Jesus. He witnessed the cross right in front, right at the foot of where Jesus was hanging and dying. He was watching every moment unfold up close and personal. And when he saw what happened at the cross, he understood who Jesus really was. And so this morning, as we see what he saw, I hope it will help us to appreciate our Lord Jesus in a fresh way. If you had to describe this scene right now, how would you do it? This scene that you're experiencing right in this moment. If you had to describe this to someone who wasn't here, how would you do that? It would partly be through what you can see, right? You would describe what you see, but you've got more senses than just your eyes. It's also what you hear, the noises, the smells, perhaps, if you're sitting next to someone who hasn't had a shower this morning, or the tastes, maybe, if you had to have something to eat later on, or the feel. There's all sorts of senses. Well, for this centurion who is stood at the foot of the cross with this front row seat for this massive moment in history, he would have experienced this day with all of his senses. He would have seen. He would have seen verse 33. At noon, darkness coming over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. I sat down to write this talk on Monday. Monday was a day when in the morning, it was a bit like it is today. It was quite grey and chilly and overcast. But by the time we got to midday, noon, it was bright sunshine. Noon till 3 in the afternoon, that is the time in the day where the sun is at its highest, where it's at its hottest. And yet, Jesus dies in darkness, suffering in an unnatural darkness. Solar eclipses, lunar eclipses can last for hours. Solar eclipses only last for a few minutes. So this is an unnatural darkness. And Romans, like this centurion, Romans were people who took a lot of notice of signs and omens. It was a big part of Roman culture. They called them augurs. They would always be on the lookout for a natural phenomenon that happened. They would watch the patterns of birds flying through the sky or shooting stars. They would take a look at these natural events and they would interpret these as divine approval or divine disapproval. And so it could well be that as this centurion spends 3 hours of his afternoon shift in the darkness, this unnatural darkness, he may well have understood something of what was going on. You see, in the Bible, darkness is a sign of God's displeasure, his judgment. Jesus did not just suffer at the hands of the centurion, but in those hours on the cross, he was under the anger of God as he paid the punishment for my sin and for your sin if you're trusting in him. Jesus did not die for his own sin, for he had none. But the right anger of God against our wrong rebellion was poured out on him as he took our sins on his shoulders. The centurion would have seen Jesus dying in darkness. He would have heard, verse 34, Jesus crying out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani." And some standing nearby think that he's calling Elijah, but actually he's crying out to his father in the words of Psalm 22, which Caleb read to us. This is a cry of pain, yes, but a cry of faith. My God, why have you forsaken me? Confirming verbally what the darkness was communicating symbolically. Can you imagine the pain of this cosmic rift as God the Son is in some way forsaken by God his Father? A separation that he'd never known. A separation that we deserve. A separation that he took for us so that we might be united to him by faith in him. Perhaps the centurion could even smell the sharpness of the wine vinegar that was offered to Jesus. Maybe he could sense the weight of this moment, this central point in all of history, and he certainly would have heard verse 37, as with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The healer bleeds. The light goes out. The life dies. Perhaps the centurion would have heard reports from the temple, a commotion coming from the temple as the curtain there was torn in two from top to bottom. The way to God opened up wide through the death of Jesus on the cross. And so, verse 39, when he saw how Jesus died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." When he saw what happened at the cross, he understood who Jesus really was. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because if you had to pick a moment that proved that Jesus is the Son of God, you would probably go for the resurrection, right? The resurrection is where he is declared to be the Son of God in power. And that is coming. Thank God that Good Friday is not the end of the story. Easter Sunday is on its way. But even here at the cross on Good Friday, as Jesus suffers and dies, actually we can see clearly who Jesus is. The centurion says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." You see, as he sees how Jesus dies, all of his senses are telling him this man really was the one whom some claimed him to be. It is on Good Friday, it is at the cross, that we see Jesus on display as the Son of God. So as you look at the cross, as you see this scene through the eyes of the centurion, can you see Jesus as he really is? Do you come to this same conclusion? That he is fully man and fully God? Who paid for the wrong sin of man to satisfy the right anger of God? Who said to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" So that he could say to us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Who died in darkness so that we could live in his light. Who tore the curtain in two so that we might be one with him. Who breathed his last to breathe life into us. Surely this man is the Son of God, for this is why the Son of God came. If you don't yet know Jesus, this Good Friday you can know life through his death. Turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. Put your trust in him. And if you love him already, well, I hope this short few minutes spent at the foot of the cross has helped us to see clearly and freshly the battered beauty of our Saviour. I hope our hearts are warmed and moved in worship to our great King. Surely this man is the Son of God. Let's respond by singing. Again, Unfortunately, those of us in the room are not supposed to sing out loud. But Nick and Rachel will lead us a song all about the cross of our Lord Jesus. So let's reflect in this song, and then Jonathan will come and lead us in prayer.